When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week's episode, we're speaking to the owner of Have Wheelchair, Will Travel, mother of Brayden, who lives with cerebral palsy, and co-founder and editor of Travel Without Limits magazine, Julie.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right. This is a language warning. Oh, shit.
How are you going, Mandy?
Yes, good, Kate. How are you?
Well, look.
The sun. It's peeking through.
This morning when I woke up, I woke up about 6:15, that someone had left the outside light on.
Oh, no, it was bright.
It was sunny.
Yes.
Because we've had so many days of overcast rain that I forgot that the days are getting longer.
The sun comes out in
Melbourne. Yeah, yeah.
And the birds start chirping in August.
Do. Especially the kookaburras. They're back.
Yep.
It's dark when they come out. That's all I want to say. Kookaburras are toddlers.
Anyway, here we are. I'm really excited about today's guest.
Yes.
So we're going to say hello, Julie.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you.
We really
are. So thank you for giving your time. We know you're a busy P, as we all call you.
Yes.
A busy
aren't we all?
Yes.
But we're grateful for you.
Yeah.
So we're going to launch in with our first question, Julie. Do you have music or a band or a song that you listen to in the good times or maybe helps you through the tricky times?
Well, I am a massive In Excess fan.
Ah.
So
that
old
man.
School, but yeah. I really love it.
Oh,
and
it's
still
beautiful
just
music.
Takes me back to, I guess, a very different time in my life.
Yeah.
So Never Tear Us Apart would be my sad one. So I remember it being played at Michael Hutchins' funeral, but still it's a good one. It's a good one to kind of just feel a bit
song.
Of a emotion to.
Yep.
And I think in Happy Times, you can't beat Pharrell Williams' Happy.
No.
Oh, I love that song.
That's true.
You can't help but just kind of feel like you want to clap along
to
it.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes. That is an awesome song. And, children, adults, everyone loves it.
I did see a meme the other day that said, I'm not taking advice from anyone who doesn't know why you cry when Never Tear Us Apart comes on.
Oh, well, fair enough.
I was like, you got to be my age. Laughed. I was like, yep. I'm not explaining who Michael Hutchins is to any of you.
Yes. Oh, well, anyway. Okay. And my question is, did you win any awards at school or have you won any awards in your work?
I was a really shy kid at school and, I was very much flying under the radar. So I had to wait until I was an adult to win awards. But I did win Best Blog for my travel blog, Travel Travel, which was really lovely to win.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get, sort of, I guess, kind of acceptance for something that's a little left of centre.
Yeah.
And I won an Oz Mumpreneur Award for the blog as well, which has been really exciting, and was a finalist for Best Blog in the Australian Society of Travel Writers Awards for the blog as well.
Congratulations.
So I kind of made up for my school stuff.
You did. You worked hard. We're going to hear all about it. So, yep.
And our favourite question, why are you a P?
Because I am the mum to a fabulous guy called Brayden who lives with cerebral palsy. He is nonverbal. He's a wheelchair user and needs help with all his daily living needs, even though he's an adult now. Mm-hmm. But he's social and he's engaged and he's just desperate to grab every opportunity in life. So for me, it's just really exciting to be able to try and offer him every possible chance to, you know, engage with the world.
Oh, yes.
What a great answer.
A lot of our listeners know you and yes. have followed you for a long time. So can you tell us a little bit about the early days with Brayden?
And the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, pregnancy was fine, just the usual stuff. You know, we were worried about whether it was, you know, what name, whether it's going to have my husband's nose or my nose, you know, all those stupid things you think about when you're pregnant and you're so in the dark.
Yeah.
And then Brayden was born and perfect Apgars, perfect birth, like 5 hours, nothing really? Dramatic, nothing, wow. you know, anything. And it was really only when he was about 4 months of age that there started to be some question marks. And I guess I was in a mother's group where everyone else's babies were getting good neck control and things like that. And every time I asked questions, everyone was like, no, he's just behind. He'll catch up with his milestones. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Tresillian because Brayden was a very poor sleeper.
Yes, right.
And he failed his first week at Tresillian and had to stay for a second week because he was such a bad sleeper. And by the second week, they said to us, oh, we'd like you to go to the hospital and just, you know, get him checked and get some physio to help him sort of reach his milestones. And so we started physio and it was all okay. And fortunately, on one of the sessions, my mum came with me just randomly. And at that session, we walked in and there was the physio I'd been seeing plus somebody else in the room. And you sort of think, that's all good.
Yep.
And they said, you know, we think Brayden's got cerebral palsy. And then that was the start of our journey. But I think probably because there'd been that question mark for a couple of months, it was kind of like, right, let's just get on with this and see what it is going to be. And at first the outcome was kind of going to be quite minimal impact on his life, but although he would be classified in a moderate category to me, you know, it would be severe because being nonverbal, needing help with all your daily needs, being dependent on other people, to me makes it quite a severe disability. I know he's not in the severe category of having compromised health and things like that, but the impact on his life is severe.
Yeah. That's a good way of explaining it. Yeah.
We just got on that therapy mouse wheel and I was a woman absolutely possessed because everything you read, everything they tell you is early intervention, early intervention. Oh,
brain.
But it's just not sustainable.
No,
and
it's not.
I remember saying to one of the therapists, oh, I don't want to take a holiday because I feel guilty. And she said to me, Julie, that will give him time to consolidate everything he's been learning. Everyone needs a break. And so we started taking holidays and we found that he actually improved when we're on holidays.
Wow.
And for us as a family, it was just so good.
Yeah.
And it changed your professional life as well in the end.
Yeah, and indeed.
Does Brayden have siblings or a sibling?
Yes. So he has gorgeous sister Amelia, who is 7 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And they have a very, very close bond, always have. So we feel really lucky to have such close siblings. They just—he adored her when she came along, and it was reciprocated straight away.
So, beautiful.
He's very intuitive with him, and she's just really great.
Mm. Oh, beautiful and family.
So, did Brayden go to childcare or kinder preschool?
So he went to a reverse. Most of the preschools didn't want to have him, basically, to put it nicely.
Yeah.
It was all in the too hard basket, and there wasn't much mainstreaming at that point. Mm. So he ended up going to a reverse integration preschool at the Royal Institute for the Deaf and Blind School.
Right.
And so the families that sent their children there wanted their kids to actually be exposed to different ways of life and different abilities. So immediately you're in this welcoming, wonderful community where the kids had parents that were quite, you know, evolved and keen keen to learn how do we communicate with him and how do we include him in things. So it was a really positive experience for Brayden.
Awesome. And is that, do you live in Melbourne?
No, I live in Sydney.
Okay, because I know there was one of those in St Kilda in Melbourne. That's in Sydney. Yep. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. And do they still run that?
Yes, they do. Ah. Yes, we've been back. Been back to have a look and
how awesome.
And do a little wander. So, yeah, it's lovely. Really lovely. Really lovely concept, actually. Yeah.
And I think when my girls were little, I liked to see children with different disabilities. You know, I was like, okay, well, you've got that challenge or this part is tricky for you. Okay, it never matters to me. I just love everyone.
No. That's right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that you find also when you travel, just learning about other cultures. You know, it's just a different way of learning about people. So if people embrace it when they travel, why wouldn't they embrace it in day-to-day life? Like that's kind of a given to me.
Of course. And what about primary school? What did you have to choose for that? Or
primary school, I've never taken the easy way out, ladies, ever. Like when Brayden started therapy. The best therapy was about an hour's drive from us two days a week, and I did that hour's drive 2 days a week, and he had therapy other days as well. Same with school. The local school had a support unit, but the principal was not very progressive, and I felt like there was just going to be this, you know, butting heads constantly.
Well, it rises so the school and falls on the principal.
The school that was further away from us, like that was literally up the road from us, but the school that was further away from us, we had other friends from the Cerebral Palsy Alliance mother's group that were going to be going there as well, and the principal was very progressive. And so I felt the combination of a few of us banding together and a more progressive principal was going to be worth the wait. And I reminded myself of that when I was in peak hour traffic every single morning going there. But it was worth it. Like it really was worth it. I mean, not perfect by any means, because it then comes down to the teacher, it comes down to the head of the support unit, it comes down to all those things. But yeah, we got through. And actually what was really lovely was that because there are a few of us, we joined the PNC. And joining the PNC and contributing to the school in that way was really lovely, because then the parents from the mainstream part of the school were very very keen to make the support unit kids involved in everything. We had a really good parent sort of relationship with the rest of the school, and we actually started a program called Goal, which was all about getting the kids out at lunchtime. And I went there one day and just saw all the kids in wheelchairs just sitting there not doing everything, because all the staff go and have their lunch. They help facilitate mealtime and then they head off.
Right.
And all the other kids, and I mean the best part of the day, the rest of the schools were playing, and the best part of the day for me at school anyway was playing with my friends at lunchtime. So we started this program and we got local businesses involved, and we actually asked them to donate, to have like a casual day where they donated equipment that the kids could play with. But a lot of the local businesses actually wanted to come in on a roster system and help facilitate the play. And so the support unit became this lively, vibrant place where the kids from the main part of the school also wanted to come down. You know, it was fantastic to see this, you know, whole change. And again, it came down to having a principal that was willing to make it happen, and a lot of effort from the parents. Like there was a whole committee of us that made that happen, because you had volunteer rosters and you had to do police checks and you had to have the equipment and make sure it was all good and whatever. But, you know, we are one of many, many, many parents that go that extra mile to make sure their kids have, you know, a good life.
Yeah, and an accessible playtime.
Exactly.
My goodness. And then how old was Brayden when you first, I was looking on your Instagram, you went on your trip to Disneyland.
Yeah. I can't remember how Brayden, 2011.
Right.
I can't do maths quickly on the podcast. But we'd done other trips with him. We really started local and got our confidence, and then I was still working in the travel industry, and we got this amazing offer discount deal for a cruise. I think it was like $150 each to go on this cruise.
Wow.
So we did a cruise and took him on that. So we did really gentle steps, did a trip to New Zealand, did a trip to Uluru, all those sorts of things. But we won that trip to Disneyland, which was amazing. And it was just the most liberating feeling to feel that a wheelchair wasn't going to hold us back, that we could still travel as a family. And Disneyland particularly is a place where parents and kids share the joy together. And to just watch that interaction between all of us as a family was just so special. And that was really, you know, winning that trip basically was what started me on my journey to share things with other people, because we came back and I told a few friends, but I really wanted to spread the word for a wider community, because you're time poor. Like, as a parent caring for somebody with a disability, so time poor. To put the research in isn't that easy, but that was my background as a travel consultant to do that. So it was so seamless for us, and we learnt so much that I just really wanted to share it with other people and hope that it could help empower them to travel more.
And so did you know anyone that was a blogger at the time? How did you get started?
No, I had no idea. And the and this lovely lady offered to build the website for me, because she needed to build her portfolio up of websites. So she kindly donated her time to build the website, which was amazing.
It's amazing.
And I remember her saying, can I press like live on it, and I kept saying no, it's not perfect. She's going, it's not going to be perfect. It's not as though 100 people are going to even look at it the first time you go live. Probably only family ever looked at it at that point in time. And I remember on Facebook, just I didn't even have personal Facebook, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. You hear so much bad stuff about social media and all that sort of thing, and I only used photos of the backs of the children at first, because I was worried about their privacy. Amelia particularly was very young. I was worried about people coming up to her and knowing her and things like that.
Tricky.
But, you know, we, you know, like you guys, we've built such a fabulous community of people, and, you know, there's been occasional spats between people over time, but usually it's politics or vaccinations that cause the issue. In general, people really want to help, and you know, I've really set a tone of positivity, because I think there's plenty of places out there that are happy for you to go on and rant. I'm not happy for people to go on and rant. Tell me where you can do something, not where you can't do something.
This is 100% us.
And I think that's just really important, because I think when you go on Facebook, when you have 5 seconds where your child or loved one is busy and you go on there just to have a little mental reprieve, you need to see good stuff, in my opinion. You don't need to see all the bad stuff.
And
did you know you could write?
No, I didn't. And it's quite funny, because the reason that we won the trip to Disneyland was that when Braden had cerebral palsy, the odds of him having cerebral palsy were 1 in 400.
Right.
And at the time it was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, he was the 1 in 400. I mean, of course, somebody has to be the 1 in 400. But then turning that around, because I've always been such a glass half full gal, I thought to myself, well, you know, there's all these competitions out there, and because I wasn't working as much, I kind of really wanted to give us the life I always wanted. I thought, well, why can't we win things? So then I started writing to enter, 25 words or less. Why do you want to win this? Why do you want to win that? We won a car. We won 5 trips to America. We won all sorts of stuff. Like, we basically won a lifestyle that at the time we couldn't afford.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I just did a travel writing course, and then started.
Wow. You did the course. Okay.
Okay, But and still, you must have.
It was a weekend course, or 2 weekends I think it was. It wasn't a big course. It wasn't like going to uni and learning to travel write, if that makes sense. Yeah. It was. I didn't have time to do that.
And what was your first piece that took off?
I think the blog just took off. Like, people couldn't, I'd get messages from all around the world basically saying, and there was nothing, you know, at that point I wasn't writing particularly well. It was just a case of people needed the information, they needed the community. And so the blog really took off. And then from the blog, I then started pitching to travel publications, and it was really, really hard, you know, to actually get anyone to give you space in a magazine for writing about traveling with a wheelchair. But then that went really well, and, you know, it sort of just builds momentum over time.
Yeah, one thing leads to the next.
Yeah.
I think I've read you in Source Kids. Where else have you been published?
Source Kids, I think I've done Mamma Mia. I've done different travel magazines. It's been good. And I really want to do more, though. If I can get into mainstream newspapers, I will be very happy because I have pitched every year for International Day of People with Disability, thinking they should be publishing stories.
Yeah, they should.
And they're not, as a general rule. And, you know, one in five people identify as having a disability, that's right, but that's not taking into consideration the multi-gen travellers. It's not niche.
That's the
uphill battle, I feel, is that people think it's niche.
No,
and the tourism dollars are actually worth more to Australia for people travelling with disability than the China market was prior to the pandemic. Right. So as far as I think they should do it from a social responsibility side and be inclusive. But if they're even looking at it from a dollar perspective, it makes sense to do it.
Any peas listening out there that understand this?
Yes.
We've got so many listeners from so many places.
Yeah.
Wow. Contact Julie, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit her up.
When obviously pandemic time, we can talk about that in a minute. But so the blog's taking off, you're doing more trips. Where were the places you went to? What are some of the most amazing places?
Oh, we've had great travels. I always say to people, most successful for us probably is the US from a standpoint of physical access and because they're Americans with Disability Act that was brought into place, there's a lot of education around it as well.
Right.
So
people
often know what you need before you tell them what you need, which I find fantastic.
Awesome.
One of the most inclusive places would be Fiji, which is not physically very accessible. So you won't have a ramp everywhere. You won't have beach wheelchairs. You won't have beach matting. But the Fijians' hospitality means that they don't want anyone to miss out. So, you know, Braden would be carried up the gangway on the boat, or, you know, the second we hit the beach with his manual wheelchair, which we'd put off-road tyres on and a free wheel, but it was still hard to push across the beach, there would be a burly Fijian and he'd just push it through the sand as though there was no obstacle whatsoever. So Braden just, I think he felt like he'd met his tribe because everyone was friendly and, you know, for somebody that's non-verbal, travel for him is really important because people let down their guards when they're traveling.
Yes.
And if you're having a shared experience, people will include him because they know what to talk to him about, whereas if you're just walking around, they're kind of like, you know, what do we say? Does he understand? That sort of thing. Whereas when you're traveling, if you're on a whale watching trip and he's wahooing because he's just seen a whale breach out of the water, other people go, did you see that? Wasn't that cool? And for him, that's just so rewarding because suddenly he's got somebody, you know, interacting with him that he doesn't know and he's desperate for it. So, you know, Fiji was lovely for that. But New Zealand, we've had great experiences. New York, we had, you know, the subway, the elevator was out and we were standing at the top of the staircase what the heck are we going to do? And two guys, just without, like, skipping a beat, they were still in their New York rhythm, picked the front of the wheelchair up, helped my husband down the stairs, and we were down on the platform before we realised it. So, you know, they always say New Yorkers aren't friendly, but we found them great.
Oh, yes, me really too. Friendly. Yeah. I don't know. I think Australians can be brash. And I think New Yorkers can be brash, but that doesn't mean we're not friendly.
Yeah.
We just get to the point quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that extremely – I didn't open a door the whole time I was there. I was like, oh, my gosh, people holding doors open. I found them really friendly, but anyway.
Yeah. And what about going back to schooling, what did you choose for high school? And
For high school we went with a support unit that actually had therapists on site.
Yeah, great.
Because I find when mum goes in and says something needs doing, there's great resistance. But if a therapist goes in, there might still be resistance, but the therapist knows best. So they're more likely to go with things. In retrospect, would I have gone the same route? No. But I really wanted him to have a regular high school experience where he was, you know, doing everything.
Yeah.
But being nonverbal, I think probably if I'd sent him to a school that was more focused on communication, that would have been better.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, I'm very pro mainstreaming. But I also find that there's just not the time, the resources or the money put into focusing on a skill like that. And I think if you're nonverbal, that's probably the thing that you need the most help with.
How does he communicate?
So he's got picture exchange communication. He's got an iPad. He's now taking a mobile phone out with him, which his support workers take photos on.
Yeah.
And then they transfer it into a story into Pictello for him for his iPad. Excellent. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of gesturing, you know, a lot of smiles or physical choices.
Yep.
You know, he's got a graphic T-shirt and hoodie collection that is like very expansive, and so every day he loves choosing whether it's going to be Homer in his underwear on his hoodie for the day, or whether it's going to be fart spray painting or SpongeBob or whatever it is.
Awesome.
So, you know, and that's another way of engaging with people.
Definitely.
Because people then are commenting, oh, you really like SpongeBob, or I really like your shirt. And similarly, his manual wheelchair has Superman like on the the wheel guards.
Yeah. Mm.
You've got Superman spray painted, really cool. Guy apparently does stuff for Marvel that did the spray painting job on it.
Wow.
And, you know, kids then have something to comment on. So it's like, hey, Mom, look at Superman. They're like, wow, you're right. It's really cool, isn't it? And it's a very positive way of engaging people. So
I remember buying my first black T-shirt of Black Widow for my daughter and thinking I would never buy this for her. But she loves Marvel tops, and all the Marvel fans love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's already in that gang.
Yeah.
So it's super important.
And I think
I never understood that before, because no one cared about my Anna Green Gables T-shirt.
I did. I think for people listening who don't live with disability, it's exactly the same as when you'd say to someone when you meet them, oh, I like your scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, have you got new lipstick? You know, you find something about a person to talk about when you don't really know what to say to someone. It's exactly the same. You just find something and you talk about it, and then it opens up those lines of communication and you start bonding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm always very open to if people ask questions. I'm more than happy if kids ask questions, why don't his legs work, or, you know, whatever. I was given a very positive response because I think that that then reflects on how they're going to see people with disability in the future.
Of course.
So for me, it's all about the positive response and engaging. If a kid's staring for a really long time, I will then often say to them, hi, is it the wheelchair that you're looking at?
Yeah,
or something like that. Do you like the Superman? And then they'll either break and they'll smile and say something, or they'll look away and move away.
Yeah.
You know, and either one is fine. It's just a matter of, you know, you do get to that point. It's not always positive feeling you have
not.
As a parent.
No.
Sometimes you do feel like,
stop looking.
That's right.
Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What about when did you start the magazine, Travel Without Limits?
Magazine started in 2019.
Oh, and
just before the pandemic. But the first issue was about 47 pages on really thin paper. And it was just very much the people that I knew in the industry, like disability businesses that supported it and took a leap of faith on it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then by the September issue, September 2019, we had a bigger magazine. And March 2020, just before everything went into lockdown, we had the one that was going to, you know, change everything.
And it's beautiful.
And, of course, everything changed then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we actually soared during the pandemic, which I think was quite phenomenal. And we've probably had more support now from tourism businesses, which is great because we obviously want that, because that way it opens up an opportunity for me to educate them a little bit more. You'll find that a lot of places don't have accessible, inclusive imagery.
No.
And so then that's my opportunity to really talk to them about, you know, it's really important to have accurate representation. And even when you're, because I'm part of the Australian Society of Travel Writers, we go to a lot of lunches where different tourism organisations will showcase a video. And you'll know that they're a destination that does have good access or, you know, good diversity, and you'll just see nothing. And I'm, you know, at the end, I'll say to them, you know, it was beautiful video, but you do access and inclusion so well. It would be great to have some imagery around that. Show the destination is welcoming. So I think, you know, everyone's talking about sustainability and environment, and, you know, this just needs to be added to the, the list. It's really important. And to me, responsible people now often talk about responsible travel. And they're often talking more about the footprint that we leave. But to me, responsible travel actually encompasses being inclusive and diverse and welcoming.
And has Braden been able to do any travel on his own with support workers or anything?
No, he hasn't. We've taken a support worker away with us. So I guess as we're getting older as parents, we're kind of thinking, right, well, you know, we occasionally want to do something that he doesn't like. So we did that, and that was really successful. That was a really lovely way of doing it. But he's a real family guy. He's really very family orientated. So he hasn't done anything by himself.
I'm just thinking, because my daughter's going to be going away with her school for 10 days to Queensland. And, yeah, I'm anxious. But she's very proud, and she, I mean, she'll be going with her teachers, but yeah, I'm a little bit anxious about it.
It'll be a good learning curve for everyone. We had a forced 10-day separation recently. So Braden went, normally goes to respite two nights, and a couple of weeks ago I thought, right, we'll delve in and we'll go three nights. We'll extend this out and we'll see how he goes, see how they go doing things, because, you know, we don't send, like, his shaver, because that's really hard to do shaving. We're like, oh, we'll do three nights. Anyway, as it turned out, the day before he was due to come home, my husband tested positive for COVID. And so I contacted them. I said, can we extend it? My husband had, like, a house beside us that at the back of my parents' place he could isolate in. But I said, can we extend it just to make sure my daughter doesn't get it
right?
And so we extended, then my daughter got it. So I was like, oh, can we extend again? So it turned out to be 10 nights that we had away. But he did really well. He was very tired because he doesn't spend a lot of time in his wheelchair at home, and there he was in his wheelchair all the time. But it was a great learning curve for him, and it was a forced, you know, it was, we just sort of just jumped right in. You know, we had his regular support workers take him out during the day just to make sure there was some continuity. But, yeah, he coped well, and it was nice for my husband and I to know, well, down the track, if we do want to go away on a holiday and do something that he doesn't enjoy, then we know we can do it.
So
sometimes ripping off the Band-Aid.
Well, that's right.
How old is Braden now?
He just turned 27.
Wow.
But very young at heart.
Beautiful. Well,
all the best people are.
That's right.
And does he, what does he do during the day?
So he, we fought very, very hard. Everyone knows about NDIS and the battles that you fight. We pulled him from, he was in a day program. And in the, when the pandemic hit, we pulled him from that day program because it was the only way we felt we could keep him safe. And we started exploring the option of having one-to-one support for him, which was working brilliantly. He was able to meet his therapy goals. He was able to do, his day was very full. So at his day program, they wouldn't take them out. You know, he'd arrive at 8:30, they wouldn't go out until 10:30, 11, and then they'd be back by 1:32 in the afternoon. And it would be, you know, bowling, picnics, you know, very, very normal things for a day program to do. There was nothing different about it, but he wasn't me. He was very happy, I will say that. He was so happy with the social element of it, but he wasn't actually doing things that would help him continue to grow as a person. Mm. And what I found was that people put sort of age limits on things happening, and Braden's always sort of crushed through those. So he's proved that he can continue learning, he can continue like extending himself physically, which is really important. So he started going to the Cerebral Palsy Alliance gym and doing a personal therapy session. But everything he needs one-to-one support. So he leads a very full week. He does everything from the art gallery, whatever's new at the art gallery, to catching a ferry somewhere, but everything is very much around his communication goals. Mm. So he will make choices to what he's doing for the day. Even at the gym, he gets to choose what exercises he wants to do, what order, that sort of thing.
Awesome.
And the one-to-one support has very much allowed him to do that.
Yeah, yeah, terrific. And I sort of feel like that heading towards the end of high school, the world will open up, you know, to be able to do the things that suit and benefit her.
Yes, yes. And it just depends. There are a lot of good dedicated programs like art and music and things like that. That just wasn't Braden's jam. Mm,
yeah, that's right.
Because we're all different. You know, we all love different things.
That's right.
But the good thing about being that age is you can try, and if it doesn't work, you just do something else. But, you know, he's built a real community. You know, when he goes to, say, Sea Life Aquarium, the staff all know him.
Yeah.
You know, he can go and order his snack from the thing using, like, a communication button, a jelly button, and people are friendly. And, you know, so he's building a community around Sydney City, basically. And
awesome.
One of my support workers said, everyone knows him.
Yeah, it's the best.
He does, and he loves it.
I know. What a great life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, community is everything.
That's right. I saw your latest blog about going to visit the prison.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I've just been watching Wentworth, so it's blowing my brains out. But anyway. Right.
Well, very, very considerately, the one of the police stations had an open day. And so Braden's mad for any emergency services.
Is he?
Most people, you know, fear the police, like car coming up behind them, whereas to Braden it's like, woohoo, let's get pulled over. One of his lovely support workers did three laps past RBT until they pulled her in, because she knew what pleasure that would give Braden. And that was kind of like, that sums up the difference of one-to-one
That's
support.
That's right. Yeah. It does.
She swim so well.
Yes.
And she was prepared to go that extra mile
to
get
Totally. Oh, that's the best story ever.
I know. So he just came home and he was so delighted that they got pulled over by the police. But anyway, we went to the police station, and he got to check out the cells, and he got to, you know, go into the docks and all the rest of it. And one of his cousins is a police officer as well, so that's really exciting stuff. But, yeah, I wrote a bit of a tongue-in-cheek accessible review of the cell.
Totally.
It was very different. I normally do hotel reviews, and it's all about how you can transfer and what the decor's like and everything. In this one, it was like, well,
the slab, the bed. Yeah, but it got me thinking, how do people go to the toilet? How do, you know, all of that.
Well, I said to the police officer, you know, do you ever get anyone in a wheelchair in here? And he said, oh, sometimes we do, not very often, but sometimes. But I don't know how they'd even arrest them. Like, how do they can't get them in a paddy wagon unless they can transfer.
It's a whole other story.
I know.
Yeah. It's, very interesting.
Yeah, I was fascinated.
Anyway, it was a bit of a fun one for me, and Braden had such a good day. It was nice to be able to share the photos.
Do you source these things, or do people come to you and say, do a piece on this, or is it a bit of both?
Most of the time we're just looking out for things that will engage Braden or do things. We did a trip to the Gold Coast, and they came to us and said, would you like to go to the Gold Coast? And I said, well, only if you can provide accessible activities for us to do. And we had a great time. We, you know, because they've really evolved on the Gold Coast, and now there's beach matting and there's beach wheelchairs and, you know, all the things. If you go to the Gold Coast, you want to be able to go to the beach, right?
Yeah,
you
know,
even
beach.
If it's winter.
Yeah.
We do whale watching. You know, we had a really diverse – oh, and the hit for Braden was there was a tandem go-karting place up there where Mark, my husband, could drive the go-kart and Braden could sit in there because Braden can't drive a go-kart. So that fulfilled his need for speed, which is great.
Yes. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
So if you had to choose one place, I know people probably ask you this all the time, where was your favourite holiday?
I would have to say the Disneyland trip, just because that was the most liberating feeling to be nervous about it and do it and achieve it. And, you know, it was amazing, you know, just the whole experience. Braden and Amelia were both at the right age for all the character meet and greets. Not that Braden's ever grown out of character meet and greets, but, you know.
My brother's 40, he still does it. Yeah. So, yeah.
It was just special. Like, it was just really, really special trip, and having won it was really, you know, it was amazing. But funny story, that day that we won the trip to Disneyland, I had a phone call 90 minutes earlier to say I'd won a trip to LA to go to the G'day LA ball with Channel 9.
Wow.
So within 90 minutes we'd won two trips in a day. It was just like the most bizarre. I know, as far as, you know, which was your most magical day, that was pretty magical.
Well, that's a pretty great day. And you went to both?
Yeah, I went with a girlfriend to the G'day LA ball because that was obviously, you know, walking the red carpet. And
yeah, was there
whole...
heaps of celebs?
Yes, there was.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Esme LaPaglia was there, and Simon Baker and Sigrid Thornton. Oh. And yeah, it was like, it was Olivia Newton-John.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was like, yeah, it was lots and lots of people there.
Oh, wow.
Buzz Aldrin was there. I don't quite know why he was there, but he was there.
Maybe he wants to be Australian.
Enter competitions, people.
Yeah, I try to win a spa all the time. I never win. But anyway, I'll keep trying.
I'll keep trying. Somebody's going to be the one.
I know. That's what I tell myself. But no, it's never me.
Yeah.
There's so much to keep talking to you about, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. But is there anything that you would love our community to
know? Yes. Anything we've missed?
Most important thing is, if you're worried about traveling, is to just start local, take what you need, work out what's going to be a good holiday for you, because, you know, you don't know until you go. And if you go somewhere local, if it doesn't work, you can always come home.
True.
That's true.
You know,
great advice.
When I meet lots of families, they've got really complex needs when they travel, and that's why I always say to them, pack up the car, you can pack everything, and then you work out what you didn't actually need, what was essential to make it a good holiday. We often pay a lot more to stay somewhere where we can walk out the door or wheel out the door and have things at our doorstep, so we're not lifting the wheelchair in and out of the car, that kind of thing. There's a lot of facilities people don't know about. We've got a big story coming up in the next issue of the magazine about hidden disabilities and all the facilities at the various airports that they're offering now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The Malak key. I can't believe how many people still don't have a Malak key to access the accessible bathrooms that are locked.
Right.
You know, we just keep one on the back of Braden's wheelchair, so it's always there for him. Companion cards.
Yep.
Still lots and lots of people haven't got the companion card.
Yes.
There's discounts with the airlines. You can get 50% off if you have to. It will depend on the age of the person that you're caring for. But with Virgin, they have a 50% off assistant fare. So if I'm travelling with Braden, my fare's 50% off because he can't travel without me.
Wow.
Qantas have something similar. So there's lots. I've got it all on my website.
Yes,
and,
great.
You know, we've seen the magazine. We constantly, there's upper body torso harnesses for the aircraft for people to help them sit if they can't sit.
Yes.
There's Eagle passenger hoists, which help people more comfortably transfer if they need a hoist to transfer. You know, there's just so much out there that can assist you to travel, but start local.
Yep,
yeah,
great.
Good advice.
Baby steps, because a staycation can be just as exciting,
as
traveling overseas. So really think what you need, and never, ever, ever travel without travel insurance, and make sure that you can get it before you book your trip, because with some complex, you know, seizures hydrocephalitis, different things, is really, really hard to actually get the travel insurance for the US particularly. And if you've booked your trip and then you do your travel insurance as an afterthought, you know, you're really risking your house if you have to go to a hospital in America.
Yeah,
for sure. Yes. Definitely get travel insurance.
Yes, thank you.
But I could go on for days.
I know.
But all the information's there. I have a very engaged community that are very willing to help people as well. So
you've got a Facebook page.
So we'll put all the links in the show notes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And anybody can find
we really do cover like autism. We cover everything because we really want to be an inclusive community.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Oh, congratulations, Julie.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's been lovely to chat.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled that we've got you on. I'm sorry it's taken so long.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Well, there's so many amazing people in this world.
Yeah. So and we get to meet them.
Thank you. So, everything will be in the show notes. We'll share everything and people can go and find you. And, keep up the amazing work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You too.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, Mandy, that was so great.
Oh, Julie's awesome. And, you know, I don't know, so helpful.
Oh, so helpful.
And helpful peas.
You know what it's like when someone puts a post in the Hangout? I want to do this, but blah, blah, blah. And you get a few answers. Yeah. Well, this is like that on steroids.
Yes,
it's awesome.
She's there. Everyone, go and follow her.
Yeah. So, exciting as well. She's enthusiastic and she's.
She's a positive. Just, and she's
a little bit ahead of the journey some of us.
That's right.
And maybe a lot of you.
Yeah.
So awesome. You can pick her brains and she's an awesome person to have in our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
thank you, Julie. It was terrific to meet you.
Yep.
What made you cry this week, Kate?
Okay, so everybody knows this is my worst week of the year. I hate it. It's Father's Day coming. I know by the time this comes out, Father's Day will have been well and truly gone. So I go to ground. I don't like it. I hate all the ads. And I know I'm selfish because I know they're an amazing dads that people love to celebrate. I don't think you shouldn't. But it's just my week of, ugh, don't like it. So, yeah, that's my lots of tears this week. What about you?
I cried because there is a beautiful pea shoot called Rye that died.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I've been following Rye and his mum, Brooke, and all his family for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last couple of years has been really hard on him.
It has, yes.
And I just want to say that a lot of people in our community know this family and I just want them to know that I will never forget your beautiful boy, Bri.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had some tears.
Yeah.
But also the beautifulness of following the journey of his death and his funeral and his wake.
Beautiful.
And I just thought they did an absolutely stunning job.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of the pea stories. There's a lot of peas.
Yes,
that
there
live
are.
This and and that's not out Kate and my story to tell.
No,
But I just wanted to acknowledge Rye and Brooke and their whole family.
Yes, yes, lovely. All right. So when we go on to what made a difference, I have two things that made a difference in my life. One of them is a friend made me soup.
Oh,
never underestimate people making you soup.
No way, soup.
Yep. Lentil and vegetable,
yum, yum, yum.
And it's been soup weather in Melbourne continually.
Yes.
So that's good. And the other thing is one of my beautiful work boys, Phil, got engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
And he was, I love him so much. And he was so funny because he rang me on Saturday afternoon and I thought, is he ringing me straight away? I was like, is he ringing me to tell me he's engaged? I just had a feeling.
You knew it.
So I was like, are you ringing me to tell me that you're engaged? And he's like, no, I often ring you. And he does. He probably rings me once a month. So I was like, okay, fine. And then he texts me a photo while we're on the phone.
Aww.
And it's his fiancé's engagement ring. I was like, hey, you little bugger, I knew you were ringing me. Anyway, he wants me to do my marriage celebrant course and marry
them.
Oh,
cool. So you'd be like, awesome
maybe
at that.
I will.
Yes, Kate.
So, I think it takes a year to do the course.
That's
I've got to get onto it.
Excellent idea.
Yeah, so he was like, come on, you can marry me.
You'd be really good at that.
So I think I'm looking into it and I might become a marriage celebrant to marry my beautiful Phil.
Oh, that
well,
sounds
not me
awesome.
Marrying Phil, obviously.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so that was but it was just lovely to see that, like, they started working with me out of school, you know, and now he's 27,
he's
28,
funny.
And he's really funny. So, it was, it was lovely.
What an excellent idea.
Yep, and you?
I went to pub choir.
Oh,
and it was very fun. it was fun to be on the video. Lots of people tagging me. Thank you, bees.
Yep.
It was fun to be there. I mean, St Kilda on a Wednesday night, not easy, but we got there.
Hard to get to from
it
our side of town.
It was a bit hard, but my friend Nat and I went and it was her
always
first time.
Worth it.
And it was worth it. Yeah. And I just was overwhelmed just thinking all these people in this room were locked down.
Yes.
And she acknowledged that, but I just don't think she still got it, you know.
You can't
get it.
No.
The what we went through.
Yep.
So, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, very, very good. Now.
Your laugh. What made you laugh?
Okay. So what made me laugh was that Woody has really been into Peaky Blinders, which is a...
I do not know it.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Yep.
They have very cute little caps. That's what I like about it. Anyway, I don't watch it, but he loves it. Don't tell me if it's inappropriate. I don't want to know because he loves it and he's watching it. Anyway, so we had to get haircuts and he decided he wanted a Peaky Blinder haircut.
Right.
Anyway, so he went to the hairdresser, got the haircut, and the hairdresser was like, you really want to go with this? Because everyone's getting mullets in Australia, right? And his twin brother has got a mullet. Yes. That's what all the boys are doing, and girls, whatever. Yes. Anyone, whoever you identify as.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's like, yep. Anyway, so it's just very short back and sides, no fade, and then like a probably early 2000s hair. Okay. I don't know. And then also the 1960s or whenever the Peaky Blinders are set. It really suits him.
Right.
Anyway, so she's like, this is what you want? He's like, yep. And so he showed her the photo on his phone and she just cut it exactly the same.
Good.
Anyway, it was really good. And if you have identical twins, you'll know the joy of completely different things for them.
Right.
And
their own thing.
Yes, and people, so.
Anyway, and haircuts have been tricky in the past.
Very tricky.
So for it to be something that he chooses
and was happy to go.
Engaged in.
First time that he spoke to the person, you know, because I had someone to talk about.
Huge.
Peaky Blinders.
Huge.
Anyway, so he comes back over to me and he goes, Mum, she said, right, mate, you have to own this. And I said, you do. He goes,
you do.
What does, who else can own it? I thought, what a strange phrase.
It is, but what she was trying to say is this is different.
This is different.
Yeah.
Anyway, but when he got up off the chair, he did like a, I don't know, power move, whatever. She goes, I think you'll be fine, you know. Anyway, so I explained to him. I said, you know, owning it means you're going to walk in the room and you're going to be proud of that hair.
Yes.
And you're going to be glad you've got it and you're going to be who you are. And he turned and looked me in the eye and he said, Mum, you own things.
Oh.
And I was like, we went for such a great day. We laughed and cried. Wow. And I was like, I do, mate.
What
you're
a day.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, Peaky Blinders haircut.
Wowza.
It just made me laugh a lot.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
So there we go.
I was watching the Emrusciano Press Club.
Oh, I haven't watched
it. Yep, I watched it. And then it must have come up on somewhere and it said Press Club. And Miss Eleven said, the National Penis Club. I said, well, yes, historically,
often, yes.
It is the National Penis Club, but today it is not the National Penis Club. I just laughed for ages.
Well, out of the mouth of babes.
And the other laugh was last night. I was just one of those after-school frantic times of driving everyone everywhere to everything.
Mm.
And then I finally sat down and then I realised I had a graduation meeting for grade six.
Oh.
So I was like, shit. So I live very close to our school.
Yeah.
I drove.
Yeah, yeah.
I got in there and then I got into the staff room and there was not my people. And then I go back and check the thing and it's tonight.
Oh, Mandy.
Anyway, I'm taking a photo. I'm putting it in the group chat. I'm here. Where's everyone else?
Like, have you just walked up to staff meeting?
Yeah. I don't know who they were, but it made me laugh for ages because I thought this is the chaos of life.
Oh, it is the
and,
chaos of life.
You know, I shouldn't have even been there anyway because I forgot. And then I'm just coming into peak time.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah.
And we're about to hit fourth term and you've got a child graduating primary school.
Yeah, and I've just got to find some energy
bedlam.
For that.
Yes.
And I'm perhaps haven't had it.
Yes. So
anyway, I will. And everyone said, see you tonight, Mandy.
So funny.
Now I'm like, I'm going to have to like, you know, contribute. I was just going to slip in. Now I've made it like I look really keen.
You're really keen. You're there 24 hours early.
Anyway, we all know that story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just Mandy.
Look, I have done it. I've gone to school on days when school's not on.
There's so much swimming in your head.
I'm the queen of that, yeah.
Ooh.
And did you, off topic, but the teacher's pet.
Oh, yeah. I watched it all day yesterday. That's what I was going to say in my cry too, but I was absolutely hooked.
So if you've lived under a rock, you may not know, but I'm sure you do. The Teacher's Pet, I listened to it every week as it came out. And interestingly, Scholarship and Buzz and Woody both said yesterday, I remember listening to it in the car because I'd pick them up from school and it would be on.
Yes.
So it's an awesome podcast. If you haven't listened and you live overseas, find it. Scholarship went overseas this year and she was listening to it over there because at that point the trial was on
trial.
And we couldn't listen to it here.
Yes.
So she got to listen to that. But anyway, yesterday, and it's an incredible podcast, and Hedley Thomas just did not give up.
Oh, he didn't.
He was relentless in getting justice for a woman that no one cared about.
It, It's so enormous.
It's enormous
from a podcast perspective. It's enormous that the podcast impacted the trial, so they couldn't have a jury.
Yeah.
And I just watched it live for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I actually, Molly was home because she's not well. And I said, you don't have to watch this. Go into your room. She goes, no, I like watching court when I'm not in it.
How often is she in it?
I said, okay. And I was explaining everything to the girls.
Yeah.
It's such an extraordinary story. But then I was in the car picking up one of the girls when it happened. And I just posted this photo to my friend like,
I know.
I couldn't believe. But I just thought, well, it's been said he was guilty. And he appeals, but it's been said.
We know he's guilty. And his poor, his children, everything is so complex.
Oh, it's so complex. I think every podcaster who listened to that was united yesterday.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We were a united bunch. So, I just thought, I know this will come out a couple of weeks after it's all been done, but I can't not mention
it. I know,
it
me too. I cried too.
Incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
So I think we met him. We saw him. He spoke about it. We went to a podcast thing and he was there talking about it and doing
the ABC
research.
One?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. And he was like, this is what I had to
do. Oh, it might have been.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it was the start of it. It was just happening.
Yeah. 2018, 19.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I think we've seen him somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
Don't trust me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, we just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah,
just
we really
from,
do.
Being podcasters.
Yeah.
And
incredible work he did.
That's right, because we don't do research.
Oh,
and so
no.
The podcasts that do research, I think, wow.
Yeah, he's
you know,
an
it's a completely different thing. It's
journalist.
Scripted. It's all of that sort of work.
But such tenderness.
Yes, and kindness.
Oh, I just, it's an incredible podcast.
Yeah, and then there's the whole complication of the identical twins.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's really incredible.
And just what you could get away with in the
back then. And,
80s.
And the judge, when the judge said something about, look, I'll have to find the exact words, but he said something about mothering and about how, you know, I wish I could remember it. It took my breath away.
Yeah.
Because he was saying, you know, people
you took that.
She had no voice.
No.
You know, a woman in the 1980s, I think that was my mum.
Yeah, my mum.
And the commentary he made about mothering.
Mm.
If we can find it, it stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us were glued to updates.
Yes.
You know, I was doing a few things. I was like, I had meetings and stuff. So I've got to get back to the
what's going on. Yeah, I was watching on Twitter.
Yeah. Incredible.
Anyway, it's just a
we can't
a comment
not
about
mention
it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Peas.
All right, Peas, we'll be back next week.
And for some of you, we'll see you at our pea lunch on the 10th of September.
Yeah.
So that's very soon.
Very soon.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.